Have an amazing time. I'm going to hand over to Shell for our next session on the prayer course. Thanks, Shell.
Thanks, Peter. Isn't it great to be in church today? It's fantastic. It's been a really big week in church, hasn't it? We've had the AGM last week. We've had team night in the middle of the week. I just feel like there's such a buzz in the air, isn't there? It's a really good season. It's always good to be in church. There's a real buzz in the air at the moment. So terrific. If you don't know me, my name's Shell. I'm one of the pastors here. And as Peter has said, we are working our way through the 24/7 Prayer Network Prayer Course. Very complicated title. It is called The Prayer Course. And who's enjoying it so far? Yeah. Who's in a Connect group that's doing it? Yeah, fantastic. I love that. I love that hand over there. Fantastic. Good job, everyone. Look, if you are not in a Connect group, well, you should be. You should come and talk to me. But if you are not and you would love to watch the videos online of the prayer course, you can jump over to this website. And you don't need an access code. You can actually jump on that website and you can access everything for free, which is very exciting. If you are a bookworm like myself, there is a book that goes along with this course as well. It is not free, I'm sorry. But you can grab a copy of this book either at Koorong or Amazon. You can listen to it on Spotify. It's super available and I would recommend it. Okay, so that out of the road, where are we up to in our series? We are up to week three. We three. Now, the people at 24/7 Prayer, they are teaching us to pray just like Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And as we've said already, that is the Lord's Prayer. Now, they have broken it into four sections, and we are going through each section one at a time. We are now up to A for ask, P-R-A. We've done pausing to sit before the Lord. We've done rejoicing and adoration. That was last week. And now we are up to the asking section. Now, I have a lot of graphics today because I do like a good graphic. But if you would like to pull out your phone at any time and take a photo, don't take a photo of me, but take a photo of the screen. That could be of help to you. Okay, we are up to A for ask. Now, when it comes to A for ask, there are generally two categories that asking falls into. First of all, you might have heard this word, petition. If you have been around church long enough, petition simply means asking for your own needs. I mean, that's a complicated explanation right there, isn't it? Asking for your own needs. Then, of course, we have intercession, which is an equally complicated scenario as well. That is simply praying for the needs of other people. All right? So I feel like we can all do that. We can all petition. We can all intercede. Pretty straightforward. All right. Today, however, we're going to be tackling the first one. We're going to be tackling petition. But before we do that, I would like to probably ask the question that many of us may have asked, but may not have been confident to put words to. And that is simply, why ask God? Have you ever thought about that? Why do we need to ask God? I mean, if God knows everything that is going on the earth, if he knows everything that we need, if he has the means to provide it, and if he really does love us, why do we have to ask him? Does that make any sense? Well, there's an interesting story in Mark chapter 10 about a guy who is blind. His name is Bartimaeus, and he had to ask. So I just want to quickly explore his story. Now, Jesus comes to the town that Bartimaeus lives in. Bartimaeus is sitting there on the side of the road, and he is begging. He hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing through his town, and so he calls out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, Jesus motions for Bartimaeus to come over, and he says, "What would you like me to do for you?" I mean, isn't that pretty obvious? You've got a blind guy on the side of the road. He's asking for help. Is that not obvious? Well, Jesus asks him, "What would you want? What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus says, "I want to be able to see." And Jesus heals him, and he says, "Your faith has healed you." So just to be clear, Jesus, who is God, who knows even the number of hairs on our heads, has asked the local blind beggar who's calling out for mercy, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, Is Jesus AI? The reason I ask this is because it reminds me of when I phone up a corporation like Centrelink or maybe another organisation, and you get that automated voice on the end of the line and it's looking for a keyword for you to say, and you've got to say it really clearly. But if you don't have the right keyword, then you don't get anywhere. But if you do have the right keyword, then it puts you through to a pre-recorded message and you never speak to a human. Is that what Jesus is like? Is that what prayer is like? Is Jesus waiting for keywords? You know, I'm going to be honest, if Jesus is AI, then I don't particularly want to be praying to him, because it kind of feels, well, firstly, it's unsafe to give all your information to AI, right? But secondly, if I'm talking about the inmost needs, if I'm talking about the things that I'm really concerned about, I don't want to be talking to AI. I want to be talking to someone who's going to be empathetic. Am I right? I really hope Jesus is not AI. He's not. Spoiler alert, he's not. So why did Jesus make Bartimaeus specify his needs? Why does God want us to ask for things if he already knows what we need? And for that matter, what does petition actually do? Now strap in, guys, because we are about to do 500 years of post-Reformation history in 3 minutes. We've got this, guys. We can do this. Okay, so to answer the question, we firstly need to know who is in charge on this planet. Who has the authority to make stuff happen? First scenario, over here. First scenario is God has gone away. Now, people that subscribe to this kind of theology, they're called deists. Basically, God has created the earth, he's handed us the keys, and he's gone, see you guys, good luck with the world and stuff. And he's left. God is not present. He is not contactable, and he does not care. In this scenario, people are completely in charge of their own destiny, of their own downfall. In this scenario, prayer makes absolutely no sense because no one is listening. People have been left with the keys to the house, and we are on our own. So we need to make the best of it. On the other end of the spectrum, we have God, the puppet master. Now, you may have heard people say things like, God is in control, or everything happens for a reason. Something like that. This scenario is the complete opposite. Taken to the very extreme, some people believe that because God created everything, he not only knows everything, but everything that is going to happen happens intentionally the way that he has determined them to happen. Sorry, that was a lot of words. Basically, let me say, an avalanche or a mudslide that kills a village, that was God. That parking space that you get, that was God. Everything that happens to you and around you is intentionally determined by God and is part of a very meticulous master plan. And because God has created my human brain, every choice that I make, every response that I have is predetermined by God. Now, that doesn't mean to say that everything that I do is good. In fact, far from it. But even my flaws have been predetermined by God. Now, in this scenario, I have no agency of my own. It's the very opposite. In the other one, I have all the control. In this scenario, I have no control. I have no control of the world around me. There is no reason to pray except to align my will with what God has already decided is going to happen. But there is another way. And I think this way actually lines up better with Genesis. I think this third way actually makes sense of the world around us. In this scenario, God delegates. God has created human beings in his image, which means that we are separate from him, but we represent him. Humans have been given purpose and authority to work the earth, to create, to organize, to cause things to thrive. And according to Genesis 1:6, we are governors of the earth. We have delegated authority. We're not in charge, but we have been given enough authority to exercise genuine agency and genuine free will on this planet. Our choices actually mean something. It implies capability. It implies genuine free will. We are not puppets, but neither has God left us. Because when we read through Genesis, we notice that God's plan was always to be walking in the garden in the cool of the evening with his people, talking about life, talking about the work they've done, talking about what's going on. God is present. God is present. He is involved. So in this scenario, what is prayer? Well, prayer is active communication in a trusted relationship, and it actually affects things in real time. Okay, so let's get back to Bartimaeus. Why does God get Bartimaeus to actually voice what he needs? Because that's the way that God has designed the whole system to work. God has given us the dignity of being able to advocate for ourselves in a relationship of trust in a world which is actually affected not just by God's actions, but by our own as well. So when Bartimaeus voices his needs, three things happen. First of all, it's intentional. He is activating his will and he's bringing that to God. Secondly, he's vulnerable. He admits that he is not in charge. He is not all powerful. God is all powerful. And thirdly, it's relational. It affirms the fact that God is a God that we trust. He is a loving provider and the source of all that is good in this world. So that's a pretty rich moment right there. You know, Pete Gregg, he is the author of the prayer book and the course that we're running through. He says this, it's our primary privilege as God's children to ask audaciously and repeatedly for everything we need, expecting him to answer naturally and supernaturally. I think that's awesome. Okay. Now, when Jesus teaches us to pray, when Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, as we heard a couple of weeks ago when Peter was speaking, he doesn't just reinvent the wheel. He uses a prayer which has actually been in circulation. It's the oldest Jewish prayer that there is, and it's still commonly used today by Jews. It's a very famous prayer. He takes this prayer and he adds to it. Now, the other day when Peter was speaking, he talked about the very fact that the opening line is "Our Father." So he's added a salutation, which was not there in the beginning. What I'm going to do, I've got it on the screen here. You might not be able to read that from up the back. I'm going to read through what the Kaddish says, okay? Kaddish starts like this. Exalted and hallowed be God's great name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In the world which God created, according to plan, may God's majesty be revealed in the days of our lifetime and the life of all of Israel speedily, imminently, to which we say amen. The Lord's Prayer says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Then we have a bit missing. Well, not missing. It was never there in the original prayer. We're going to come back to that. The Kaddish goes on. Blessed be God's great name to all eternity. Blessed, praised, honoured, exalted, extolled, glorified, adored and lauded be the name of the Holy Blessed One beyond all earthly words and songs of blessing, praise and comfort to which we say amen. The Lord's Prayer says, "For your king, yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." I mean, they're so similar, right? So similar. Except for the opening salutation and the orange bit, which he's added in. What is the orange bit, you ask? It's asking. Let me read it to you. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who forgive, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This whole bit which has been inserted there is all the asking. And it's super personal, isn't it? Our daily bread, our very needs. Not world peace. I mean, that's important and we should definitely be praying for that because our world needs it. And we're going to be talking about intercession next week. But our very personal needs. God wants to know what our very personal needs are and he wants us to ask for them. Does it blow your mind that on a planet of 8.29 billion people, God actually cares about your personal needs? Does that blow your mind? It does for me. And this is the very heart of petition. So today we're talking about petition, and I think it's really important to start with petition before we move to intercession, and I'll tell you why. Once we get hold of the fact that our future is secure in a God that cares deeply for us, it changes how we show up in the world. Because when we're no longer desperate, when we're no longer frenetic, when we're rock solid in our relationship with God, we become people of peace and we can offer that peace to others. We show up differently, don't we? Yeah. So what is it that you need? Maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your health, maybe it's a close relationship. Instead of daily bread, what would you insert there? Give us today. You say the rest. Matthew 7, 1 to 11 says this: keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God wants you to ask. But here's the problem. We don't always get what we ask for, do we? You might be sitting there thinking, oh, Shell, that's all very nice and well, but you have no idea how long I've been praying for this particular thing. You have no idea how disappointed I am because I've asked and I've asked and nothing's happened. I think that's a very common thing. I think if we were to ask around the room, I think we'd find a lot of people with a very mixed response to prayer and how prayer actually works. I find it really helpful in the prayer course. Pete Gregg actually describes the response of God in terms of traffic lights. Very simple. Pete says, sometimes our prayers are answered with a green for go, and it's a yes. And don't we love those times when our prayers are answered with a yes? And we come to church and we share with our friends, the Lord has come through for me. You know, in the green room today, we were talking about where God has come through for us. And it was really great and we were so encouraged. It's so encouraging when we hear stories about God coming through and God saying yes. You know, this week, Nikki and I and my sister, we bought a house together 5 years ago. It was our house anniversary this week. And we celebrate and we go out and we have dinner. We're two single ladies buying a house together, making our way in the world, and we prayed and prayed. We went to lots of home opens. It was really hard, but we got a house and we felt like God came through for us. That was a green light. Isn't that awesome? You've probably got green lights in your life. Green lights are great. Then we get red lights, right? Nobody likes a red light. Other times God says no. And you know, we've probably all experienced red lights in our lives too. Maybe it's healing that doesn't come. Maybe it's a financial situation which is not resolving. I don't know what it is for you, but do you know what? Even the Apostle Paul got a red light. Even the Apostle Paul, he wanted healing for something and God said no. I mean, he wrote half the New Testament, right? Surely he's entitled to a green light. We all get red lights. You know, red lights are actually so serious that we are not going to talk much more about them today. We're actually, the prayer course gives them a whole sermon of their own. There's a whole video about that because it is so serious. And when we get when we get red lights, it can really cause us to doubt. It can really shake our faith. So I'm not going to give you a little pithy answer on that right now. You're going to have to stay tuned. You're going to have to come back and listen to that sermon because it really is worth digging deeply into. So I'm just going to leave you in that. But we're going to talk about orange lights, if that's all right. Who likes an orange light? Orange lights basically say wait, don't they? It's not where you put your foot down, it's where you take your foot off. No one likes waiting. Have you ever waited at a traffic light so long that you have thought, oh, it might be broken? Maybe I should just like sneak through. Sometimes God says wait, and we don't always get to know the reason why he says to wait. Maybe there's something else that needs to happen in someone else's life. Maybe there's something that needs to change in you. Maybe there's something beyond what you've asked for, and God's doing a bigger thing. Maybe what you've asked for isn't good for you or for others, or maybe it is perfectly reasonable and you just have no idea why God is asking you to wait. But the point is, waiting is really hard. You know, I've been praying for something for 3 years. 3 whole years, right? No breakthrough. So I was praying the other day and I said to the Lord, Lord, I've been praying faithfully for 3 whole years. No breakthrough. What's going on? You know, I had a really gentle response from the Lord that really stopped me in my tracks. And he said to me, Shell, what if you had to wait for 30 years for me to do this? Would you still keep praying? Would you still keep trusting? Do you know that was a big challenge for me? It was a really big challenge. What if God doesn't do the thing straight away? Do you know there's something that happens to us when we get a wait response? This is actually where the transformation happens. We go from simply having faith to being faithful. Keeping on trusting the goodness of God even though we have to wait. This is where our faith grows up. This is where God forms us. And Pete Gregg, he gives a hilarious hypothetical situation here. He says, imagine a city, right? Imagine a massive road network. Now, imagine if every time road users got to an amber light and they just got frustrated and they just abandoned their cars and walked away. What would happen to the road network? I mean, that would be chaos right there and then, wouldn't it? That would just be nuts. If you just got out of your car and abandoned it right there, everything would grind to a halt. Are you waiting at an orange light in your prayer life? That's my challenge to you. Are you waiting at an orange light? And will you stay with your vehicle? Or will you abandon it in frustration? Can I share an embarrassing story with you? I've shared it once before and I'm hoping that those people were away so it's new for you, but act surprised. All right, as a little girl, I really loved singing. You can imagine that, right? Yeah, I really loved singing. And my Sunday school, I was about 8, my Sunday school decided that they were going to do a performance in front of the whole church. And this song was it was an acted out version of the Mary and Martha story. And all the Sunday school got to sing the chorus. Martha got to sing a solo. And Mary, she didn't get to sing anything. She had to put on this puffy dress and she had to like twirl and dance and stuff. Now, I'm a tomboy, always been a tomboy. The idea of Mary did not interest me. I felt that I should rightfully be Martha. And I felt that that's what the Lord would want for the Sunday school, that I should be Martha. But sadly, my Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Platt, was mistaken. And she put my friend Nadia in the role of Martha. And I thought, well, she hasn't been listening to the Lord, has she? So I prayed in faith. I prayed in faith. I prayed that Nadia would get sick. And I was really specific about this. I prayed that Nadia wouldn't be so sick that she had to go to hospital, but she would be sick enough that every time she drew a breath, she'd have a coughing fit. But it gets worse. I actually memorized her entire solo, and I can still sing that solo today. That's how much hard work and how much faith I had in this moment. However, it got to the Sunday. Nadia wasn't sick. I had to be Mary. I had to dance and twirl, and I did not get to sing. I was greatly displeased. Who thinks that God was right in giving me a red light? Who thinks God should have just given me a green light? What's going on here? Let's unpack this. Well, 8-year-old Shell loved to sing. Singing is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. 8-year-old Shell was full of faith. Faith was a good thing, right? 8-year-old Shell put in the hard work. Hard work is good. But 8-year-old Shell was also very selfish. 8-year-old Shell didn't really care about the needs of other people, and she did not understand that singing on the church platform is a privilege and not a right. She did not understand that worship is about humility and not about performance. 8-year-old Shell had a lot of growing up to do. And I look back on that prayer and I'm actually really embarrassed that I prayed that, because Nadia is a friend of mine now and I can't believe that I actually did that. I'm really glad that God didn't give me that green light, but what I didn't realize until 30 years later was that he didn't give me a red light either. Because as I stand before you 34 years later, it is literally my job to sing in church. Can you believe that? That's pretty crazy, right? I get paid to sing in church. That's nuts. I get to do stuff that little Shell would never have imagined, but it's definitely stuff that little Shell wasn't ready for. It's taken 30 years of transformation, of God forming me. I hope it doesn't take you 30 years. It took me 30 years of God transforming me in order to be someone who was ready to do this job. And it humbles me that God took the selfish prayer of a child and didn't punish me for praying something so silly. But he transformed that prayer and he transformed me. And when the green light came, it was way more than I could have possibly imagined. God took my very childish faith, and at the orange light, he has developed faithfulness. Now, I am sure that you are way more mature than me and you would never pray for someone to get sick. And I'm sure that your prayers are actually very reasonable and very worthwhile. And I'm sure it's not going to take 30 years for you to be transformed. But maybe you are sitting at an orange light this morning. And so I'm going to ask you, are you going to abandon your vehicle? Or are you going to let God transform your faith into faithfulness? Now today, as part of our prayer series, we like to offer a responsive moment. It just helps us to externalize, to embody what God's been doing internally during the service. And I want to give you an opportunity for a personal response. Today, as I've been talking, you might have had a persistent thought. It might be something that is on your heart that you need to bring to the Lord, and you haven't even prayed about it yet. You haven't even asked yet. So maybe today is the day that you ask. Maybe you have been asking over and over and over and over again and there's been no breakthrough, and maybe God is saying to you, hey, you're just at an orange light. I'm just asking you to be faithful and just keep praying the prayer. If you are either one of those people, then I would love to invite you to come down the front. There is going to be a table set up just here. It's going to have some sticky notes on it. You can write your prayer. Obviously, not a whole prayer is going to fit on a sticky note, but maybe it's just a word. Maybe it's just a phrase, but you know what that prayer means. Write that on a sticky note. Table's going to be just here. There's going to be pens, sticky notes. Then I want you to bring your sticky note over and I want you to put it on the cross as a way of saying to God, I'm here. I'm not abandoning my vehicle. I am going to faithfully pray for this thing until I see you move supernaturally. Because I believe in who you are, I believe that you are good, and I trust that you want good things for me and for the people around me. As we do that, the band is going to play. They're going to play a song that we sang just before. But before we do that, I would love for everyone to stand. Because we know we talked about Paul before. We talked about Paul and how he got his red light. Well, he actually had a prayer that he prayed over the church of Ephesus. I'm going to pray his prayer over you. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, and then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing.